Hello, everyone. Today I will be talking about what I have been doing this year. The topic is the characterization of the genetic diversity of switchgrass using GPS by sequencing. So, this project is a part of the GS project in my lab. So the genome selection and the genome-wide association study can accelerate the switchgrass breeding. But first, it needs the high density SNPs. So what I'm doing here is using the GPS to do the SNP discovery in the switchgrass panels. As you know, the switchgrass is a highly heterozygous species, and it has multiple protein levels, like 4X, 8X, and even 6X, and it even doesn't have the reference genome. So it's pretty challenging to call SNP from such a species. But using the GPS, we still expect to discover the high-density SNPs, and we can use the SNPs to construct the rough linked groups, and use SNPs to evaluate the published structures and reconstruct the phylogeny. Here, I need to briefly introduce the GPS. The GPS is a genotyping method developed in my lab, and you just need to put the samples in a plate, then adjust the samples with the methylation sensitive enzyme, then ligate the DNA fragments with adapters, then barcode it. Then all the samples go into PCR, eventually they go to Illumina sequencing to get all the reads. This method is simple. At the same time, the GPS is also cost effective. Here, if you use the 384 plex, each sample only cost $9, so it's pretty cheap. And considering the coverage issues, we sequenced the switchgrass of the samples with 96 plex. Here is our data set. In total, we have 842 individuals. There's a one full-sip population. It's a background population of F1. Another is a half-sip population. And we have 60 association panels. This is 540 individuals in total. So using samples, totally 350 GBP sequence generated. So they're pretty large. Here we got tons of sequence. For a species with a reference genome, we just simply align the sequence to the reference genome to get SNPs. But here, the reference genome doesn't exist. So we developed a SNP calling pipeline without reference genome, which eventually became key of this project. Look at the figure A. Here shows how the GPS works. And each of the right triangle indicate a cut site. The cut site, the DNA fragment after a cut site was sequenced. Then we got roughly 2.5 billion reads. Then we trim this reads into 64 BPs. The identical reads are considered to be a tag here. Then we do the pairwise alignment to find the tag pairs which have the 1 BP mismatch. So this tag pairs is a SNP candidate. It could be a real SNP, also it could be the parallax. So we developed the network filter, which specially used to remove those parallax. Here, imagine each of the dots represent a tag. And the edge between the dots is the represent their relationship. It means 1 BP mismatch. Here, you can see that those texts they become a network. It could be very simple like this one. It's a reciprocal text. It also could be very complicated, more than 100 texts in a network. But the more text in the network, the more likely it could be a parallax or repetitive elements or the real SNPs with its high density, but with sequencing errors, it's a possibility. For now, we just keep the reciprocal text. This is the SNP calling method. Use this method, we got 570,000 SNPs developed in the SwitchGrass panels. So we want to know that if this works, if the SNPs are real. So we test the pipeline with maize. We choose maize because maize is a highly diverse species. It has an ancient polyploidy, it has the duplication or something like that, rich element. So we think if it works in maize, it also works for other grasses. So we imagine, we assuming that the maize done has a reference genome. Then we sequenced the 282 maize diversity lines. Then the result shows 85% of SNPs generally in the pipeline are single locus. So it is pretty good. And we also take a look at the allele frequency in the NAM population. The NAM is a background population, and for maize is inbred. So as we expected, the allele frequency in the NAM population is 0.5. So we also take a look at the allele frequency in the switchgrass F1 population. The switchgrass usually considered to be a tetraploid. So if it means that it had four copies in one genome. So here we expect, if it's true, we expect that there should be seven peaks in this distribution. But here only three shows up. So we inferred the switchgrass it behaves like a diploid after the diploidization process in the last 1 million years. So the 1, 2, 3 and 31 is like the homozygous site cross with heterozygous site, and between them, the 1, 2, 1 is probably the big A little A, or probably there is some a parallax in this peak. So we think we're able to make the linked groups with the markers, which has a segregation in the F1 genome. So we do the pseudo test cross to make the linked groups. And here, we just choose the 1, 2, 3 or 31 markers. This had a situation in both parents like this. You can see that it's the frequency is 3-1 or something. Then we sequenced the two parents in high coverage. Then we select the SNPs, which in one parent, all the SNPs are homozygous. Another parent is heterozygous. But the parent two here, the face is unknown. But it doesn't matter. So there's situation, like a coupling and a repulsion. In coupling situation, if the two SNPs is linked, when you calculate the spirit mountain correlation in F1, the R should be positive. In the repulsion situation, the R should be negative. Whatever it is, the high R square equals linkage. This is the theory we make the linkage group. Here we call the test cross, it's because we didn't do the test cross. It just looked like this curve and it fits unknown. So here's the result. So we got two sets of this, two sets of linked groups. We clustered this SNPs using the MMC mouse method. Then in each set of linked groups, we have the 5,000 SNPs, and the 19 linked groups was conjoined here, which close match to the chromosome number of switchgrass, which is 18. Then for a social panel, we sampled the 10,000 snake to make the trees. You can see the upland and the lowland, they are clearly separated, and you can see the because we have different sessions, so in each session have different clones. All clones from one session, they are clustered together. So its tree is robust. And we also have some intermediate phenotype. Switch grub session is intermediate. It's just right there between the, right there at the boundary of the upland and lowland. This is the geographic distribution of this switch grass. If you take a look at the lowland, it is split into two small groups. And this is in New York, and this group is in the middle. And all the upland species, they are in the north. So it shows the isolation by the distance. Here is a summary. We developed an effective SNP coupling pipeline, and it works pretty well for the non-reference heterozygote and the polyploid species. Right now we have the 570,000 SNPs discovered. I'm still working on the filters. I'm trying to handle the sequencing error issues. After that, I think much more SNPs will come in the next couple of weeks. And the linked, we also use this low coverage GPS marker to try to construct the linked groups. At the last, the robust phylogeny concurs well with the ecotype and the geographic distribution of switch grass. Here, the whole project, Andy Buckler and Michael Kessler and Jeremy Cherney, there's the PS. And Denise is the project manager. She takes care of everything. And for the sequencing part, Rob developed this method, and Jeff maintained all the GPS database. And Wen Yan, he makes all the libraries. And Alex will do the GWAS and the GS for the switchgrass traits, and he will present tomorrow. And Dallas, he maintained the database of our phenotype. And this field work was performed by Ken and Nick. This work supported by DOE, USDA, and ESA. Here you can see this is a picture of our field. The left part is two linked groups, linked populations, and the right part is a diverse population. You can see there's much more diverse than the linked populations. Right now, I have turned is diverse into SNPs. And thanks. I'd like to answer questions.
What is the sequence for
what
is
required of tag? Yeah, tag, we get the race, the identical race stacked at the same in a stack. But it's,
How many, is there any parameter, at least this number of sequence covers should be there, or some of the sequences may, those tags may have just one or two depth or 10 or 20, what is the depth of those tags?
The depth? This tag, I don't know about that, but for this, our project, the GPS low coverage, in average, I think it's a 0.5x.
So what is the fraction of the SNP state which go up for 0.5x? I mean, because you're using every single strategy in the tag,
I think that those texts could be the paradox is to know what you're concerned about, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about that part. So
okay.
You talk about what she has been done to be the sequence to start with.
Yeah.
Was it the fraction that you kept in the end?
I don't know, actually. But I used a filter to tussle a lot of the tags. Roughly, I think I have 5 million tag pairs. This is 5 million SNP candidates. But after the filter, now only 570,000 left.
So
yeah, roughly. Sorry.
Is it the identical reads together?
Yeah.
So which tool did you use for that? Any software tool or?
Oh, we developed the pipeline for that. We made the library separately. But
so did you put all the samples together into random number libraries?
Yeah, I put them together on two call snips, then assign this genotype to each individual.
So
this
means you didn't do any validation, right?
I don't think there are much because you can estimate only 30,000 genes there. The two, I don't know. Actually, we don't have the reference genome. I cannot tell you that. It's a methylation sensitive enzyme. It's an APEK1.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, APEK1.
And you know which regions you were
cutting
it back
to? It's this sensitive. It's close to the gene region, because if it's sensitive, it doesn't cut. I mean, if it's not methylated, it doesn't cut. Sure. We are developing that with. We are right now developing a user-friendly interface. Then, after that, you can use it. You can check our website. It's Miss Diversity. Now you can calculate 5%. We have 842 samples, but we sequenced it in the 96 plus plus by 19 bucks, and you can divide that to calculate each how much is that cost per SNP.
Any other questions? If not,